Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
It's the podcast. Welcome to it. It's Friday the 30th of July. July's almost over. Marto and Margo, lots of stuff coming up. We got Dawn Fraser on the show this morning. Some other stuff. Lazy Kids, Gordon Tallis, anything that didn't
so
make the show.
Some other stuff. It's Friday, Dave.
It's Friday. Let's after the show. Yeah. Hey, anything you didn't get to on the show?
Well,
seeing as though we are the ultimate professionals, Marto, we covered off everything we possibly could have this week.
How did I go? Because I wasn't hungover on a Friday. How was my performance?
All right. I mean, today wasn't as loose as we have been on some Fridays.
Would you rather I reeked of rum on a Friday?
Look, we talked about wanking kids and masturbation yesterday on our show. I'm pretty sure it wasn't going to get worse than that.
No, it wasn't.
No, we did find out, though, that Triple M is...
Triple M, the thieving network.
We're not the thieving network, Dave.
You'll find out why coming up in the podcast. Enjoy.
We will not be held accountable for any arrests over the weekend.
Oh, Margo, remember last week we were talking about lazy kids, how lazy your kids are, and there was a kid who wouldn't leave the bathroom to get a towel.
My kids love leaving their laundry on the floor beside the laundry basket instead of just putting it in. So easy.
It's
just
incredible.
Right there. Towels on the floor, wet ones.
Do you remember some of the calls we took?
Yeah, I've got a five-year-old daughter that when she eats her food, instead of taking it up to the sink, she'll put it inside the TV cabinet drawer.
Yeah, when I was 15, 16, my mum was hounding me about making my bed and everything.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed a sleeping bag and I just sleep in the sleeping bag on top of the bed.
Lazy.
I mean, some people would say lazy. That last one was kind of genius, wasn't it?
Well, they meld into one lazy
well,
and
they
ingenious.
Say a great way to start your day is by making your bed. And if you don't have to make it, what an even better start to your day to sleep in a sleeping bag.
Lazy.
I mean, my kids always leave their lunch boxes in their school bags.
Mm. Lazy.
Mm, and then you go to get them out the next morning and they're full of food and yucky stuff.
Not many kids catch public transport anymore.
Lazy.
Give me a lift to school. Can you give me a lift at anything less than a kilometre? God, kids are
lazy.
Yeah, that's what we're talking here. Friday, lazy kids.
Well, let's ask Brett from Burpengary because he's obviously got a lazy kid. Tell us about him.
Well, I reckon he'd take gold.
Yeah, all right. How
we
lazy?
We are speaking to an Olympian gold medalist of lazy kids. Brett, welcome to the show.
Well, as the wife brings his clothes in to get put away, that's one of his jobs, put his clothes away, he just puts them straight back in the laundry basket. It's easier that way.
Just lazy. Wash them again.
Don't reuse the drawers.
Mine put theirs under their bed, Brett. Have you ever found that? Lots of clean piles of clothes under the bed. I'm like, that's not where they go. They think that you can't see them there or something. I'm not sure what it is about. Peter from Carbrook, good morning.
Good morning. And let me just say, firstly, Brett, you do not get gold with that one. Wait till you hear about my
All right. Oh, Peter's showing some confidence. Is it a boy or a girl and how old?
Two boys. Yeah. My youngest fella's still at home, 21, and the eldest boy, 33. They'll both be listening too, so I hope it shames them.
Name and shame,
just
Peter.
Back home again. No, I won't. Look, thanks, Maddie and Jess. Good on you, boys.
Yeah, nice.
They are so lazy. They do cook for themselves, which is lovely. You know, take all the crockery, cutlery, glasses, coffee mugs, everything down to their dungeons in the downstairs. It is so bad that me and my wife have to hide our own dinner plate each, cutlery, and a mug so we can have a coffee in the morning and share dinner together. There is never anything.
How much gear? So they've got all the gear down in the dungeon.
Everything. You need to put the dishwasher
in the dungeon.
Yeah, put a dishwasher down in the dungeon, Peter.
They use the fish tank occasionally to rinse their... you got no idea.
How good are those fish? Now, Pete, can I just check? It was a bit muffled. I thought you said one of your kids was 33 and still living at home.
He's only just moved back home again about 6 months ago for the weekend.
That's lazy.
He moved home for the weekend 6 months later. He's still there, Peter.
Peter, I'm going to give you a couple of tickets. Maybe you can pass them on to your lazy sons. Tickets to go to the exclusive Triple M preview screening of Suicide Squad. They're dying to save the world. The Suicide Squad, see it on the biggest screen, VMAX, only at Event Cinemas August 5th.
I have another question. Pete, can we just go back to Pete if he's still there? Pete, how are the fish going? Are they still alive?
No, they're well fed. There's only one left. least they get fed now.
They get fed, yeah.
Okay.
Andrew from the Gold Coast, 133353. Lazy kid, have you got one, or maybe you were one?
Oh, so Margot, my mother tells me this story all the time. She was really concerned because apparently I didn't start walking till I was about 28 months.
Hey, Andrew, this is a familiar story. Did you have sisters that picked you up a lot? Is that why?
No, it was actually, so I had a green toy box. All my toys were in a green toy box, and we had polished floorboards at home. Yes. And so I used to empty the toy box, jump in the toy box, and my brother and sister used to push me up and down the corridor anywhere I wanted to go, whether it was the bedrooms or the
you
toilet.
Never walked.
Or,
this is great.
And I wasn't walking. My mother was freaking out so much. She was like, oh, I've got to take him to a paediatrician because he should have been walking like 12 months ago. What's going on?
Not hitting his benchmark.
So just not getting up. But, yeah, I mean, you know, lazy... A bit genius. I'm not quite sure how you'd put it, but I mean, I think I was a genius.
Is it something you grew out of, Andrew? Are you a lazy adult still? Does your wife just push you up and down the hallway in a crate?
Shopping trolley.
No, not a lazy adult, but I mean, it cost them plenty when they said, bugger this, I'm going to send you to boarding school. So they can deal with it.
Yeah.
Lazy.
That's the way to get rid of your kid. One more. Can we take one more?
It's a good threat.
Daniel from Cinnamon Park. Is it a son, daughter? How old?
Oh, I've got a couple of kids. I've got four kids. Usually the daughter, she's about 12.
Yeah.
I can get up in the morning, I can see exactly where she's been because the drawer to the spoons are open, the drawer to the bowls are open, the drawer to the cereal's open, the fridge is open. I can see exactly where they've been in the morning because she doesn't close the door.
You know when you grab hold of the milk and they're so lazy they can't even be bothered screwing it back on, and you pull and you grab it there and the milk goes everywhere?
Or my five-year-old, she just unscrews the lid, drinks it out of the cart and puts it back in the fridge without the lid on it and leaves the on the door.
Lazy.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Late call. I've got to talk about this, Margo. The Australian, I sometimes read that newspaper in the morning.
What do you mean sometimes? You read it every morning.
For front page, listen to this. Paradise Regained. Here's the headline. Tropical Islands' bold plan to become the new Bali in post-pandemic world. We've said this. What are we going to do? When can we get back to Bali? And it's what everyone's going.
Well, I was watching videos of it yesterday. It's so desolate and isolated.
They tell me the monkeys have taken over all the resorts. The pools are all green and messy.
Green and gross. They're still getting 1,000 cases a day there.
Yes, exactly. And here you go. So I turn to page 3 and I go, what island are they talking about? It's a resort island, just a 6-hour flight from Brisbane. Is aiming to be Australia's new Bali as the world recovers from the brutal COVID-19 pandemic.
6 hours from here is Perth, so is it west side or east side?
It's straight north, directly north, in the same time zone, okay?
Papua New Guinea.
This joint has already managed to get 70% of its adult population fully vaccinated and is on track to achieve 80% herd immunity, that is, over the coming weeks. That would mean it is safe to go to. Okay. You're right? Oh, my God. No Australian, and this is what this bloke says, the guy who runs the governor of this island, no Australian health authority is going to allow travel to Bali anytime soon. Same with the Philippines. Australians are going to want to go somewhere when we open up, correct? Mm-hmm. Is that Christmas? I don't know. Somewhere that's COVID safe, and this joint ticks all the boxes.
Okay,
there's an airline jumping on board to fly direct from Brisbane and Sydney direct to there. It's on. It's on for young and old. Look at this. Same distance as Bali from Brisbane. Has the same quality of hotels, the same sort of resorts, better diving, some surfing. English is the main language.
Vespa riding.
Same time. What? Vespa doesn't say. I'm talking about a joint called Saipan.
Never it was involved. Heard of it.
I only heard about it because there was a battle there during World War II. I remember being in Hawaii and going to that bloody, you know, Pearl Harbor Museum and going, oh, righto, Saipan. This place is incredible. Listen to this. Few Australians would be aware that Saipan was a viable holiday destination. We're going to be there soon. There are very low crime rates. You don't see beggars. They eat pretty much what we eat. And marijuana and same-sex marriage, legal.
Oh, my goodness.
Chappelle friendly. That's what we're talking.
Get me a ticket. Sign me up.
Exactly. So don't drink Australian wine yet, but we'll change that. And beer is cheap. Why do we need Bali in our life anymore?
We need Saipan.
We have got this joint.
Where is it?
Directly above Papua New Guinea. So if you went straight north from here, from Brizzy, and headed straight north for 6 hours, you're in the new Bali.
Well, no wonder they're vaccinated, because we've been sending all our AstraZeneca there, haven't we?
Yes, and that's exactly right. Well, yes, they got 3,500 hotel rooms that are empty. The Chinese are a major part of their tourism, but the US government run it. We're no longer allow Chinese people to have visas. We got it to ourselves.
Get them in the bubble.
And they'll just build up their marijuana and Bintang or whatever they drink there, and we can go there and just be Australians.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Now on Triple M, we're
checking in with Gordy Tallis. Tallis. Everyone loves Tallis.
Did I see somewhere he was 48 on Tuesday? Are you there?
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
No, we don't celebrate the ageing process in this house.
Oh, I love a birthday. I hate people that don't celebrate their birthdays. Gordy, it's the only day you get to have it all about you.
I got a 2-year-old Margot. So,
can we talk rugby league? Now, tonight, Broncos Cowboys. Are you, when this occurs, born in Townsville, captain of Broncos, does this
ambassador
bring up
for the Titans?
Oh, that's right. Oh, geez, you wear some hat. You'll do anything.
Yes.
Who do you go for in a night like this? Kevy, your mate, la la la.
Oh, no. I'm a Bronco, and people remember it. Remember me as a Bronco, and the real old guys will probably still call me a Dragon, but I'm a North Queenslander at heart. So I still remember my last ever game of footy. We got beaten by the Cowboys, the first ever time they beat the Broncos, 10-0, I think it was.
What year?
And I went over to my in 2004, and I reckon that's the day that North Queensland got a bit of soul, and now they're probably, well, they have been the bigger brother, and I went over to Dad, and he said, oh, how good were the Cowboys? So he even barracked against his son, so you can't take the North Queenslander out of the boys. So,
was that also the day you were driving down Caxton Street on the way to the game and looked at the paddo and went, geez, I would love, all right.
Oh, mate, I reckon that was about 10 games to go, and then I was never distracted. You know, people were eating pies or you smell the food, but you didn't want anything else but to run out on the footy field. And I was driving down one day and I looked at Dad and the son and a couple of mates having a beer and I thought, geez, I'd love to be there.
Yeah. Hey, you see Fox Sports, I don't know if you're even on top of this, Fox Sports for the retro round, it's the 90s retro round, have produced all these T-shirts. There's Matty Johns, when did they win? 97. Brandy Alexander, they won 91. The Panthers, Mal Meninga, 94. And Gordon Tallis from the 98 victory. Was that against the Bulldogs?
Bulldogs.
Was that when you scored the try just after halftime and then the floodgates opened?
Just after halftime, I barged over from dummy half, so I don't even think I even had to run. Oh. So I don't know how many metres I made. But, so a retro round, and all my proceeds from the shirts, they're all going to charity and mine, Smart Pups, helping kids with special needs. Whether you buy a Matty or if you're a Raiders fan, I love Mal Meninga's. I reckon I'm going to buy a Mal Meninga one, 94.
Hey, listen, can I say something to you? The Broncos' favourites against the Cowboys. Is the bookies got it right?
Yeah, look, I think they have. They were unlucky against Penrith last week. They crossed the line, I think. Brodie Croft throws a forward pass. Katoni Staggs knocks it on. And there was a couple of soft tries on Corey Oates' wing that he let in on the left-hand side. But, mate, if they tidy that up, well, they beat the Panthers last week. So Kevy, I think, is slowly starting to get some traction with this group of guys. It's taken a bit longer than what we all expected, but I'm loving the Broncos' effort at the moment, so I reckon they'll get the Cowboys.
The NRL tips in the Courier Mail, Gordy, you and I are tipsters. Third last, Gordon Tallis. Just ahead of one Mr. Corey Parker and one Margot Parker. I'm coming in last, okay. I'll take that spot for you.
I'm very loyal to the Queensland team, so I always back the Queensland teams, which is not a... You know, but if the Titans, Cowboys and Broncos are in the top 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, I reckon I'd be going a lot better. And so I'm not a real great tipster.
It's not always about, you know, how much you know about footy, is it? It's about loyalty too, Gordy, because that's the avenue I've taken. I've stayed loyal to the Queensland teams and they haven't been favourable in my
life. Let's have some honesty here. Defense. You revealed, you probably don't want this discussed on radio, who really does your tips for you?
The kids. I ask the kids who they think.
You're 10 and 11-year-old doing
your
tips.
I didn't want to throw them under the bus because I thought it'd be a bit of fun.
You're coming last, playing someone.
I don't have an excuse except that I do, Barry. The Titans every week I do tip. I try to tip the Cowboys most weeks and the Broncos.
We'll be watching Fox Sports all weekend. 8 rounds despite the Olympics. Rugby league keeps on going. Happy birthday again, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Marto's Thought on Sport.
Oh, Margo, I know we sit here and go, how good's Jess Fox? How good's Zach Stubbledy Cook? How good are we Australians winning all the medals and la, la, la? Imagine if you're Fijian. Okay, if you're a Fijian, hello to all our Bulavanaka, to all our Fijian listeners. I know there's about three of you. They've just won their second ever gold medal in history.
Ever.
They won their first one in 2016, and now they have won back-to-back gold medals.
In the same event.
Men's sevens in 2016, they got a holiday. I think they got 2 days public holiday.
Did the Fijians win the rugby?
Won the rugby in 2016, won it again yesterday against New Zealand.
Beat the Kiwis.
Beat the Kiwis.
That's massive, yeah? And
the joint went nutso.
The triumph echoed through Fiji at full time. The Fijian capital came to life.
That is truly
incredible.
The most important thing in the whole of Fiji. Google it, whatever Fiji wins, and you see all the villagers gathering around TVs in villages, in every possible TV. They're incredible.
Live and breathe rugby.
It's extraordinary.
They love it.
They love sevens more than anything. Every kid there, whether it's rolled up socks or a coconut or empty can of Coke, they'll play footy with anything.
We got to go into one of the villages.
You've been over
there, yeah, we've been a couple of times. We got to go into one of the villages. One of the staff members invited us back for kava, which is obviously a big honour for them.
Don't do it.
We went, Marto, and we had a wonderful time. They literally live on the bare bones of their asses.
Oh, God.
But they had posters of football players. Players all over their clay walls of their little huts.
Clay walls.
Yeah, like just huts made out of mud and sticks and, you know, and they have posters of rugby league and rugby union players. They're just fanatical for it.
Only thing they've ever won, and it's 2 gold and it's both through rugby, okay? Those blokes have not been home for 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Easter Monday is when they gathered, okay? And, well, it's extraordinary.
This was them returning in 2016. This time they go home to families, some who haven't seen them in 5 months.
And we know family over there is everything,
isn't
it, Marto?
Some of the players had never been on a plane before and they went. And let me tell you about that, okay?
Oh,
it's about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, they went over to Tokyo. Couldn't get any flight. There's no flights allowed because of COVID's hitting them really badly.
Really bad,
you know how small the population is. 700 people a day getting COVID. I'm not sure of the death toll, but they're being ripped apart. So they've banned any commercial flights. They hopped on a cargo plane. These are the best sevens rugby players, gold medal winners. Hopped on a cargo plane with frozen fish, which obviously for all the sushi and sashimi in Japan, they grab all the fish from Tokyo. So they went, the only way we can get there was 51 athletes and officials from the women's sevens team, the men's sevens team. I think there's a track and field athlete and one swimmer.
On a cargo plane?
Cargo plane amongst crates of fish.
I don't know whether
they're probably standing for all I know. I don't think there was any. Who knows? Now, that is how you should
travel.
That's how you win a gold. Clearly, every Olympian should travel.
They're like, hopefully, if we get a gold medal, we don't have to go back on the cargo plane.
No, they'll probably get some seats on the way home.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, one of the highlights when they go to the coverage during the swimming gear, the pods, the parents of the dolphins, has been Dawn Fraser sitting there normally on the left of our screen, just smiling, laughing, air punching. She won gold in the 100 metres of the 56 Olympics, 1960 and 1964, which was in Tokyo. One of our wonders of modern Australia, Dawn Fraser, welcome to the Big Breakfast.
Good morning and thank you very much for having me on.
Dawn, how did you find yourself up in Noosa in the pod with the parents? Was it something that you put your hand up for gladly?
Well, yes, I actually live up here with my daughter and my grandson. I've been up here for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
And when I heard the pods were down at the resort, I sort of phoned one of the parents up and said, you know, they said, come on down, Dawnie, you know, because you're our queen of our pods. And so I've been going down to the finals and the heats of a night time, the finals of a morning. And we've had a really great time. And I've got to know all the parents, which is absolute, all the parents that are up here, which is absolutely fantastic. And I think I've made a lot of friends. And, you know, it's lovely to be in the room when Ariane is swimming and her mum and dad and her grandpa and her grandma are here. And I've made beautiful friends with them. And, it's one big family.
Yeah, it seems like that, Dawn. We've had the opportunity to speak to some of the parents, Ariane Titmus, Kaylee McEwen. We spoke with Taylor as well.
Jack McLaughlin's dad,
And they
Alan.
Just seem like such humble, down-to-earth, you know, everyday Aussies. The community of swimming is so competitive, yet it seems like it's the most...
It's kind.
Yeah, it's kind. It's nice.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
And that's why there's... Yeah, I do say that, and that's why the swimmers are swimming so well, because They are a team. They're not an individual member of the team. They are a team, and they're swimming for one another. And you know, even if they're competing against one another, they still are very good mates. And I think that says a lot for Australians. It's just like the parents. The parents are so welcoming and so happy. And you know, if they were over, as they said to me yesterday, if they were in Tokyo, they wouldn't be together because they'd be in all sorts of parts, yeah. different parts.
Yeah,
of the
that's
band.
Right.
And now they're all together. You know, we've had some good times. We've had an invitation to go over to Makepeace Island, and Stuart over there, who was the boss, he invited them back again the other night. And people in Noosa have been absolutely fantastic to the boss.
Just wrap their arms around you.
Made Noosa famous. Dawn, yeah. Dawn. Not everyone can win. Have you had to console some of the parents of some of the swimmers who haven't gone as well as we might have thought?
No, you know why? Because we've got 21 debutants in this team,
yeah.
and they're all learning. And they couldn't, like, I never predict who's going to win a gold medal because it's not fair. It puts a lot of pressure, not only on the swimmer, but the parents. But I did it, we were all together at a function the other night, and they said, who do you like in the team? I said, I like Zach. They said, are you going to predict? I said, oh, yes. He'll win a gold medal.
Stubbly Cook, yeah.
Yeah, I was doubly cooked. And I thought, and when he won, I was really cheering and I was just tears in my eyes like a lot of the other parents did.
Dawn, 57 years ago, you won your third Olympics in a row at the 100-metre freestyle in Tokyo. But I was trying to tell Margo and she said, I've never heard the story. Could you please briefly tell us the flag story, how you stole a flag and then were banned? Could you tell us a quick version of Tokyo Olympics 1964, Dawn has flogged a Japanese flag, correct or not?
No, it was an Olympic flag. It wasn't a Japanese flag.
Righto. But where was it from? And you had to jump a fence or something or other? So you'd won the gold medal, you and a few blokes were larking around, and what happened?
Well, I was with the doctor of the team and the hockey boys, and they had just won a bronze medallion.
Yeah.
I was out of the village. I was doing finishing up a film, and my producer invited the hockey players back to the Imperial Palace Hotel where we were staying.
Was it a spin the bottle type situation, Dawn, and you took the dare option?
Sort of, yes. And then we quickly said, right, we'd had a few drinks because we'd all finished, and they'd won a bronze medallion. And he said, look at all those Olympic flags up the avenue towards the Empress Palace. Let's go and souvenir one. And I said, OK, I'm in it, because I wanted to have one. And anyway, we did. We got two down, and then the police caught us. Took us to the Marunouchi police station. They didn't believe that I was Dawn Fraserson. No, she would not do this. I said, oh, yes, she would. I got my gold medal. She got my gold medal in that, from the hotel. And anyway... I showed them to the police and I showed my ID and they said, oh, okay, you go now. You want souvenir, you go shop by.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's true. Next morning, there was a knock on my bedroom door in the hotel.
Hey.
And it was the same Japanese detective sergeant with a big box of flowers come in.
Oh.
He said, no, open. And underneath was the flag with a letter from the emperor.
Oh, my. With a letter from the emperor?
Yes. Yeah.
You are an absolute gem, one of the greatest Australians of all time. We love you, and thanks for joining us here this morning.
My pleasure, and thank you very much for asking.
Oh, my God.
Dawn Fraser. Is that not souveniring?
The gold medal souveniring story, that one.
I just have that gold medal in my back pocket anywhere I went.
I'll get out of trouble.
To clear out trouble. Were you speeding, ma'am? See my gold medal?
Beats boobs. Now, listen, can we actually talk souveniring? Because last time we did this, it was spectacular.
We are the souveniring network, Mark.
Let's say Dawn's got the gold. Can we get the podium filled by somebody else? Your best souveniring story, whether it's a street sign. It's not stealing. It's souveniring.
Do we have an example of souveniring that we've done before?
I don't know.
Ready to hand.
Okay. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call or 0484-10-1045 on the burner phone. We want to hear your stories. What did you souvenir for Dawn Fraser? It was an Olympic flag.
It's a long time ago. Gregory Terrace. My name is Gregory Martin, and I don't know where the sign is now. Can't get me, cops.
Call now.
Is that right? That's not stealing, is it?
Alan from Aspley. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. We're talking souveniring. It's different to stealing, of course.
Right. Oh, mate, yeah, you're right.
Completely different.
25th anniversary State of Origin banner from in front of the big screen at the Brecky Creek Hotel.
Is that outside the public bar near the grass when they had the enormous screen out there? Is that
no, really? The one out near the Spanish Garden.
Oh, righto. So Origin's over. You and a mate undo the cable ties. What happened?
No, the silly bugger's just had it tied up, so we just untook it and rolled her up and shoved her up his shirt and off we went.
Okay, where is it now, Alan?
Mate, I don't know. The mate of mine that actually ended up with it passed away recently, but it was supposed to go to me, but look, I think his brother's got it these days.
If he's put that into the will, I'd be very surprised.
If anyone from the Pig and Whistle is looking for a moose head, I may also know where one of those are.
Tell me how Julie... you got a moose head out of a Pig and Whistle.
I will not name any names, but one of our friends, he may have carried it over his shoulders.
Goodness
Julie
gracious.
From McDonald. Oh, Julie McDonald, the former Olympic swimmer.
Hold on.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Julie.
Now, Julie, hello, love. Have you ever heard that Dawn Fraser story before?
Oh, mate, it inspired me.
Inspired you
inspired
to what?
Inspired so much so.
In 88, I had Stuart Brain, who was a judo competitor. We were coming back from a night out, and he scaled up the pole because I said, I'd like one of those flags. Scaled up the pole for me, collected it. I've still got it today. Oh. And I messaged Erica Yamasaki, who's our little weightlifter.
Yeah.
I said, do I steal anything with the Olympic, souvenir. Anything with the Olympic rings on it? And a mate of mine from Canada messaged me and he said, have you still got any of the plates from Seoul? He said, I've still got 4 sets. And I said, I've still got 2.
Oh, God.
Incredible.
That is unreal, Jules.
Julie, you've had a few medals hung around your neck in your career. Well, have you ever, like Dawn, used them to your advantage to get out of anything?
Look, I tell you what, I got my driver's license about 3 months after the Olympics and my instructor basically took me around the block. Whispered in the guy's ear, this is Julie McDonald. She just won a bronze medal for Australia. And the instructor literally took me around the block as well and gave me, it went for about 5 minutes.
Oh, Joe, Ozzy.
Incredible.
Are you loving the Olympics, Jules?
Mate, I am just loving it. I've cried so many tears. Oh. It's been tremendous, just tremendous.
I mean, we've been smashing it in the swimming. Anything you're looking forward to that's yet to come?
Well, the athletics starts today, which is exciting. And I've been doing a wrap-up of the Olympics every night on YouTube so that people who've been working, they can get a rundown of what's been going on. And I've loved it. It's been really good fun.
When they just find that they just Google Julie McDonald.
Julie McDonald OAM.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, nice. And, Jules, lovely to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you for
ringing. Yeah, good to hear you guys.
Now, listen, I've got a VHS video. I've got to get back to you, but that's a private affair of you swimming. No, Julie swimming. She gave it to me for a lunch one day. I'll speak to her later.
Darren from Norman Park, 133353. We're talking souveniring. We've just heard from a former Olympic swimmer who souvenired a flag. What have you souvenired?
Well, I was working at the 2000 Olympics.
Okay.
At the handball event.
What were you doing, Darren, at the Olympics?
I was the audio operator doing all the stings and revving up the crowds and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I was doing the gold medal game for the women's. And after the game, I souvenired the handball and got it out and sits proudly in my man cave at the moment.
Have you ever had any of them sign it? Is it unsigned or signed?
Is it what?
Is it signed? Like, did you get their signatures on it?
No, I didn't get it. No, it was a bit hard. It was, a lot of security and stuff around, so you was kind of, you had to get it out.
Ever tried to sell it, Darren?
No, it's proud. It sits on my shelf with my opening ceremony bags and closing ceremony bags and accreditations and all that sort of stuff.
And you know what is proud? It's Triple M.
Triple M, the thieving network.
Not thieving, the souveniring.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, I've made a pretty consistent observation over the last few months about things that are getting smaller. And no, I'm not doing an at-home with the Parkers, gentlemen. I am talking about consumer goods because, first of all, it was the Kingston biscuit. It used to be that big. And now
hold on,
it's
the packet,
this big.
The packet or each biscuit?
The individual biscuit. It's like shrunk. It's, I reckon, a third of the size smaller than what it was. And the chocolate bit in the middle, not as thick as it used to be. But it seems to be pretty consistent across the board with products these days. Inflation, prices are going up. And then they're bringing the size of the product down. So you're getting less for more. Chip packets. More air, less chip. And yesterday, I'd had enough because you brought into the studio a jar of lollies. And what was in the jar of lollies?
Snakes. They're bloody good. They're just sugar, but they're good for you.
And what sort of snake, Marto? There was one in particular.
The giant python.
The giant killer python. Not so giant or killer. No. It's more like a itty bitty little bloody normal snake that you get.
Remember, you could hit children as a form of discipline with the old giant pythons.
You could use
pythons.
It as a skipping rope.
You could tow a vehicle. You broke down, you go, is anyone a hit giant killer python? And you go, yeah, here you go, I'll tow you.
For 20 cents, you used to get half a metre of just pure coloured sugar.
That was
now,
pretty pathetic.
What do you reckon it was? 5 centimetres?
No,
10 centimetres?
It would have been 10 centimetres.
That's it.
Yeah. It had no girth to it.
No girth. No. It was just a skinny, weedy little snake. Not a killer python. There's nothing killer about it.
Pretty odd. Ice creams have done it. Chip packets.
Burgers.
Maltesers. I love Maltesers. Got a packet. There were 13 on the outside of the box the other day. There was 11 inside. You can't. That's false advertising.
Well, it goes on weight, of course, not numbers.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But they seem to be getting smaller.
Everything's
and smaller.
Getting smaller. You're right.
133353. I want to know, what has shrunk? What have you noticed that has shrunk in size? Can be a consumer good, could be something else. I'm not sure. 133353.
Newspaper.
Oh.
I reckon it's shrinking a little bit. Yes.
What, the amount of content in it?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Without Harvey Norman, there wouldn't be a Courier Mail.
0484101045.
Hold on,
you can text us
already.
On the burner phone. We've got one.
Well, I'm Sean from Sunnybank. So true. Pringles have dead set gone from Andre the Giant in size to Danny DeVito. It's an outrage. There is the top 3 inches of the Pringles is now empty. You used to take the cap off and your finger would touch a Pringle immediately. Now it has to go, where are they?
Scott from Mount Warren Park, 133353. What have you noticed that shrunk?
I've noticed a lot of some of the beer cans now are 345 mil, and when you put them in a stubby cooler, the stubby cooler comes all the way to the top, so you can't get your mouth on it.
That's right, you're chewing on foam.
Because what are they normally, 375?
And you know, the other one, Scott, I can remember when barbed wire, 4X bitter, they were 4.8 and stuff alcohol. They've gone down to 4.3, which means you're losing about 4-5 stubbies per carton of alcohol. Correct, Scott?
That is correct. And also, Bundy now 700ml bottles, not 750.
You remember that, because I do drink a rum occasionally, but they used to have big, strong shoulders on them, the square bear, and now they're all slumped down. The shoulders are slumped. And
shoulders like a rattlesnake.
They took 50 mils off us.
50 mil off and still charge you the same price.
Rip off.
Ridiculous, Scott. Send him an email. Tiffany from Wham Your Ram, good morning.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Yeah, good. Everything seems to be shrinking. The price increases, but the size seems to be decreasing.
Or does the price stay the same and they decrease the size? I think that's their tactic, isn't it? Do you know, Tiff? What are you talking about?
Oh, childhood would have to be the wagon wheel. It used to be huge. You used to use two hands. Now it's like two fingers.
Yeah, do you reckon it's just you that's gotten bigger?
Definitely not.
But
your hands might have gotten.
Wagon wheel's definitely gotten half the size.
Are you older than 12? Who's still eating wagon wheels as an adult?
Yum, how good. I've forgotten about the classic iconic wagon wheel.
What have we got here? Is that
Jason from
a Carina? No, who you got?
Oh, giant Carina. Anyone had a Freddo frog recently? No. Yes.
What's
barely a Freddo tadpole.
You're kidding. You bastards. Jason from Jimboomba, the Ecker Showground's become a postage stamp. Well, that is correct. The Ecker, because of all the residents, is becoming smaller and smaller. Everything.
Jason from Burpengary, 133353.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, what's the product?
Yeah, 4 and 20 pies can get stuffed.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, we did a yield test on them at school with the kids doing home economics, right? So we stripped 20. No, bullshit. We stripped 20 of them apart. So here's a bit of science for you. Yeah? So the 4 and 20 pie, on average, had 35 grams of meat in the filling, 15 grams of gristle, and 55 mil of gravy.
Hold on,
And here's the other kicker. So the pastry they use on the base for a traditional pie should be short crust, right?
Yeah.
But they use what's called a wet paste, which is made of water and flour, so it's so it weighs heavier.
Hold on, so that'd all split open or easier, wouldn't it?
No, because it seals really well.
No, it's just heavier, so they're saying that the pie has got more meat in it, but it's technically the pastry.
Oh, it's more pastry.
Correct,
in it.
Yeah, so yeah, 4 and 20, stuff them.
Yeah, stuff them. Well, you tell them, Jason.
What about all the other pie people? They're not doing the same thing?
Well, I don't know, Marty. We only did the 4 and 20s.
All right.
Well, you'll have to do another brand and then give us the update, Jason. Maybe we can have a meat pie 133353.
Are you a school teacher, Jase?
Yes, mate.
You're the best. Mm. Like, have you done rum? Can you do Bundy rum in class and just give us back on what they're up to?
No, mate.
I thought teachers were really busy, weren't they? The teachers' union trying to get report cards so that it didn't have the comment in it because teachers have too much time. And here Jason is weighing meat pies in his spare time. You've got plenty of time.
Can you remember those deadbeat teachers you used to have? And you could have Jason and go, what's on today, Mr. Jason? Pies. Okay.
Stuart from Maudsland, 133353. What shrunk?
Yeah, I did have rum too, but Tim Tam, I reckon Tim Tams have now. What's they used to be tight in the packet, now they're loose.
Yeah.
I reckon they're less.
Hold on. I haven't had a Tim Tam for a while. Are you saying each biscuit's gotten smaller or there's less numbers of biscuits?
Oh, I reckon they're loose in there. Somehow they've changed the packaging.
Plenty of room for movement in and around that plastic casing, isn't there? They sort of shuffle around now. They used to be wedged in tight.
Are they in individual little container? Yeah, they're in individual, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got like little barriers in between. They're dividers in between.
Why can't Tim Tams touch each other? Why do they need to be divided?
Because if they melt, the chocolate melts, they stick together.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you don't need that. What's wrong with that?
Marto, we've got a text message on the burner phone here. Can you read it out?
Nick from where?
Werribee in Victoria, 133353. His texts are on the burner phone, though.
Hold on. The Big Breakfast Show has shrunk from 3 people to 2. Bring back Nick Cody. Hold on. Is that Nick Cody's phone number?
He's still listening.
Hey, Nick.
Stuffed.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, if you can find it in your weekend this weekend, some time to head on down to Nudgee College, Marto.
Yeah.
There's a really great 24-hour fundraiser that's commencing Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. and it's running through till 5 p.m. on Sunday, the 1st of August. And that is a 24-hour handball challenge. You know, schoolyard handball, the four squares, ace, king, queen, dunce.
Yeah.
Well, there's a young man. He is one of three people in Australia with a very rare and progressive bone disease. And he has decided that he would like to raise some funds for the Carers Foundation, who provide care to young people and people with disability here in Queensland. Imagine that, you know, having the rarest of bone diseases, but you wanting to help to raise money for other people.
That's great.
An incredible story. Kian is just 8 years old. And he's put his hand up for the challenge to play handball for 24 hours. And he's encouraging everybody. Anyone in Brisbane that has time this weekend, I'm going to be down there.
Just drop over to Nudgee College.
I'm going to be down there Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take Corey and the kids along, and I encourage you to do the same at any stage over that 24 hours.
Where is it? At what part of Nudgee College?
I'm not sure. Let's find out. We're going to speak to Najla, Kian's mother. Najla, first of all, congratulations. You must be so incredibly proud of your young boy for initiating this.
Oh, we are. We're so incredibly proud of him, despite, you know, everything that he's been going through in the last sort of 18 months, that he wants to help other people. So, yeah, we're just so extremely proud of him.
Why handball, Najla? Obviously, having a progressive bone disease, I would only assume that that would hinder him physically in some way. Why did he choose handball and 24 hours of all lengths?
Because I love handball. It's my hobby. I can't miss a day without it.
If we turned up, can we get a game of handball? Can we play?
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he needs. He needs people to come down and participate, play against each other, play against Kian. I'm going to bring my kids down so they can play as well. Najla, Marto asked the question down at Nudgee College there. What's the association with Nudgee, and whereabouts at the college can people find you on Saturday?
She's a big place.
At 5 p.m.
You'll be in the auditorium, and Nudgee College have been so kind enough to donate their facilities for us to be able to use it on the weekend. I think they were just inspired by his wonderful story and him wanting to help out all the amazing unpaid carers and fantastic work that the Carers Foundation do to support these real heroes within our community.
Why was Kian so motivated to want to raise money for other people and the Carers Foundation in particular?
Because we met this 8-year-old girl that was looking after her mum that had terminal cancer.
An 8-year-old girl?
Yes, at the time she was 8.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she spent 10 years, her and her sister, nursing her mum through terminal cancer.
Oh. And I want to raise as much money as possible, and I want to inspire kids with disabilities to follow their dreams.
Oh, you've inspired them this morning on radio, Kian. People listening to this, well, you'll get an amazing turnout, and then to be doing the handball challenge. You're incredible, you two.
Yeah.
Kian, we're very proud. Margot's coming there on Sunday. I'll see how I go, but hopefully everyone else will get down there. Where do we look again?
It's at Nike College, the 31st of July to the 1st of August.
You all right, Margot?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just, you know, this year has been so big and everybody's just been so consumed about how life affects them. You know, you've got this beautiful young boy, Najla, who's being so considerate of others when he has his own stuff going through. And I just am so, I'm in such admiration of you, Kian.
Thank you. That's just wonderful. You're making me cry.
Oh, I've got kids and I know how tough it is. And I whinge and moan at the best of times.
And they only think of themselves normally.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys are putting yourself out there for other people. And I just think that this is an incredible worthwhile cause to get behind. And I look forward to meeting you and seeing you down there this weekend.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
I'm coming down to beach it, Kian. You're not having it all your own way, son.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, you haven't seen me play yet, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town. Triple M.